Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Amen, saints of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Flawed and Free. I see a couple new faces in there. Grab your pamphlet. Let's go over. You'll hand me mine, please. Thank you so much. I want to go over again. It's been a minute since we've done it. We'll just do a quick little recap and update for those of you that are online, maybe tuning in for the first time. Like, what is this Flawed and Free? What y'all got going on? What's all this tongue talking and jumping and shouting? What is this? We are an apostolic prophetic ministry. We are non-denominational. We don't do religion. We just do relationship here. Relationship with the Holy Spirit, relationship with Jesus. I want you to read and open up your pamphlet that was in your chair when you sat down so you know a little bit about what's going on in this house, what we're about, and why we're here. And so God has called me and many of us that are called to this ministry to help build the church, the Acts 2 church, the true ecclesia. Flawed and Free is an apostolic kingdom hub. That's what we are. And so this is not church as usual. We will be transitioning as the Holy Spirit leads us. Y'all might come in here a couple days, and instead of chairs, we're going to have tables. We're going to have tables and laptops. We're going to be teaching and equipping. This is an equipping house. So this is not just a place for you to just sit in the pew and stare at me for the next 10 to 15 years. God has put something in you that he needs into the earth. And so I am here for a set time and season to do what he has called me to do. And you are the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the moving tabernacles in the earth. And so you will get disciples and you will train and equip them as well. And we will multiply. God was really speaking to me about multiplication. He said that I have not called you to grow. Growing and growth is addition. God doesn't move in addition, he moves in multiplication. In Genesis, God speaks to being fruitful and multiplying. Even a part of the Great Commission, he had them go in twos, right? He had them move in twos. And even in exponents and exponential growth, when you learn how to multiply, you typically learn with two. You started with two times two, right? Two times two times two times two times two. And so God is looking to multiply himself through us and manifest himself in a time and hour where people really need God. So I can be in this building, but all of you go into your respective place and spaces, whether it's your workspaces, whether it's your home, whether it's the grocery store. There's a lot more that can be done in the mouths of each and every one of you and the places in which you move around, right? Versus just me on Sunday. So I can do only so much. Some people will never come past those doors behind us. They will never come to the church. So we have to bring the church to them. We literally have to bring the church to them. There are many people that are dying and losing their lives. And so this Kingdom Hub is where the flawed are set free. The flawed are set free. Disciples are raised and God's glory is revealed. We are all about the glory of God manifesting himself, and we move out of his way. So we're not here to give you just one or two songs with a three point sermon, but to allow God to move. I've had times where I didn't preach because God was moving in demonstration and he was moving in deliverance that day. And so there was no message that particular day because God had a movement of deliverance. God's been speaking to me. Start today. We just finished up our spiritual warfare weapon series. It was amazing. I believe it was 6 weeks, y'all. 6 weeks on 30 spiritual warfare weapons to defeat witchcraft attacks in your life, to really help to grow and mature you and show you how to use and utilize the weapons that you have other than prayer and fasting. There are many others that we don't even know that we have. And so those are available on YouTube. If you weren't here and you weren't in the house, no worries. You can go to YouTube and catch up on those 30 spiritual warfare weapons. And so I am excited. Let's go over the mission. I want to share the mission. If you guys would read that with me. The mission of Flawed and Free Church exists to deliver, heal, disciple, and equip believers to walk in freedom, make whole the mind, body, soul, and spirit, manifest God's glory, and take kingdom dominion in the ministry, marketplace, families, and communities. Our vision for this house, we envision revival. We envision restoration and reformation across the earth. Families restored, generations healed, communities revived, and nations awakened. We are raising up kingdom leaders, equipping entrepreneurs, and restoring families, a place where the broken find freedom, the healed are made whole, and leaders are equipped to lead. Glory be to God. Our foundational scriptures are there for you to read in Luke 4:18, Matthew 28:19-20, and Genesis 1:28. Let's make the prophetic declaration. It's on the right side of the pamphlet. We will do that aloud and in agreement. We deliver, disciple, and take dominion. We build people, and our goals are souls. We legislate heaven's will on earth. We restore families, revive communities, and expand globally. We walk in freedom, wholeness, and kingdom authority. We are flawed, but free indeed. Turn that pamphlet over to the back. This is the prophetic decree that we will decree today. Our three pillars of this ministry is deliver, disciple, and dominion. The prophetic decree is we decree and declare Flawed and Free Church as a global apostolic prophetic hub, breaking generational bondage, healing families, equipping leaders, and advancing the kingdom of God with power and authority from local to global. We release revival, restoration, and reformation. Glory be to God. I wanted to make that declaration today, as it's been a minute since we've done so, just to reaffirm the what, the why, the how, and everything else that brings us together in this place. There's so much that's happening in the earth and around the world, and the church has gotten a bad rap. There's been a lot of infiltration demonically within the system of the church. And God is wanting to restore and bring us back to the place in which it all began, in the place of Eden, right? And people don't know that God is not dead, really, that God is not, that God is actually alive, because we see him as a historical figure that doesn't move, that doesn't breathe. And so my mission amongst many is to introduce you to the alive, revived, resurrected power of God, to see it tangibly and to be able to partner, move, and manifest himself in every area of your life. This place looks like a house for somewhat of a reason. And so when the Lord gave us this place and I spoke to him about it, I said, it don't look like a church. There's paintings on the wall. We have this beautiful rug. We have these beautiful chandeliers and curtains and all these things. And so people are looking for the religious pews and the stained glass windows and the baptismal pit behind us with our robes and collars, and yet I am commissioned as an apostle. I'm not out here rogue and rebellious in these streets. I'm licensed and ordained as an apostle of God and a prophet of God. But the Lord said, I want you to, in this place, allow heaven on earth the way that we did in the Bible. So in the Bible, they used to have house meetings, tent meetings. They met under tents. They met in churches. Sometimes they met in the synagogue. Sometimes they met other places, and the word of God was preached. But the most powerful movements of God were in houses. For instance, the Azusa Street Revival. The Azusa Street Revival, look it up. Look it up on YouTube. And in this revival, they were in a house. It's in California. I went to the house. As God has called me to be a revivalist, I started a lot of the ministry online and outside. I went where he sent me. I carried the true commission of Christ, because at the time, I didn't think that a church was even on my radar. I was just being obedient to God. And that's when he introduced me to carrying him everywhere that I went and allowing people to see him wherever, and literally be the church that we were supposed to be. We have a building now for several reasons, as the Lord has told me, because I tell people all the time, I'm like, I'm not being funny, but this wasn't on my vision board at all. I wanted to separate myself from the church because not only have I experienced some really grieving things in the church setting, I've seen some things, and so God will cause me to become one of the remnant people that would provide a safe space for deliverance and healing and for him to truly show himself. As the sheep are being scattered and we have yet to see what's coming, people are going to be looking for a real place where God is moving in power. A real place where they're not being tricked and frauded and played with. A real place, people that have a posture and a heart for him for real. And there's other ministries that God's raising up that are like this one. I don't think we're all apostolic, but whatever mandate that they have been given and I have been given, we have to be obedient to that. This ministry moves very heavily in deliverance, though deliverance is not something that some people can do or should do. It's all of us. All of us should be casting out demons, healing the sick, all of the things. But for some reason, the church has separated themselves from what was a third of Jesus's ministry, which was deliverance. But even in deliverance, as I've been doing deliverance for many, many years, I've discovered that just like the prophetic, people have abused it. And they're using it like some sort of quick fix. I just need to get to the prophet that has the word for me because I can't hear God. I heard this church, and I've even seen churches pimp the gift of prophecy. And instead of the edification, they're using it to draw people to them instead of drawing people to him, because they want people to come and sit at their feet because of the gift and the operation of the gift. And so people will run to places like, oh, they told me that, you know, this pastor told me that this and that. And they'll constantly, just like a drug addict, will come and come to the services and come and come. If you notice, anytime the word prophetic is used online, a million people pop into that live. They got the Cash App up. And there was a moment, I feel like it settled some, where deliverance became that too over the last couple of years. And everybody wanted to go somewhere to get some demons cast out. But that brings me to what I'm here to talk about today is I started to really notice the pattern that was missing, especially with the thousands or hundreds. I don't know the number. I don't know if it's thousands, but it's a lot. Hundreds for sure of people that we helped globally, all over the globe. And most of the people that would come to this ministry for deliverance weren't even affiliated with a church or weren't covered pastorally or weren't, they just heard about it. Somebody told them they're struggling, they're fighting in the midnight hour, you know, and they thought, okay, if I just get these demons cast out, then I'm good, right? I can just continue to live my life. And the piece that was really, truly missing and not fully being communicated was the need for discipleship. Was the need for discipleship and healing. So there's a process of healing and inner healing that has to take place in the process of deliverance. So you can't just lay hands and cast a demon out and expect the person to just be whole. Because healing is a process. There's a healing process. There's all types of healing. There's all type of miracles that come with healing. So there's creative miracles. So those are the miracles and things in the healing that we've seen in the Bible where people's eyeballs, they were, you know, grow back in the socket. They were born with no eyes and someone lays hands, yes, on them and their eyes come back, their teeth. We've had stories of people that were missing teeth and they got their teeth back from prayers. And those are called creative miracles. And then there's notable miracles. And then there's healing where someone might say, hey, I can't maybe see. I've laid hands and I've prayed even in distance on TikTok for people because there's no distance in the spirit. So there's people that I've never laid hands on. And literally the power of God healed them through TikTok. So I remember a guy that I was praying for. He was desperate in the comments and something we were doing on TikTok. And he said, hey, my left ear, I've been deaf since I was a child. Can you pray for me? And so I began to pray for him through TikTok and he received his hearing. His ear didn't pop open. Yes, clap, right? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. But I forgot what church I think he went to Marcus Rogers' church. So a part of me was like, well, why he ain't? But I was like, Lord, well, he came here, Lord, let me just, right? So the guy was like, hey, he was the right place, right time. God sent him. So he's on the live, and he's like, ma'am, can you help me, please? And he's like, please, please, please. So he was desperate for his healing, just like the woman with the issue of blood, right? And these type of things. And she didn't even touch Jesus. She just touched the hem of his garment and got healed. So the same is so where even this is why I take the digital discipleship so important, right? Even online, whether we use on our phones or whatever, to make sure that we're servicing those, because I've been virtual for so many years, I didn't want to say, hey, y'all, we got a house now. See y'all later, right? There are some people that live in other states, other cities, other countries, and they're here every Sunday. Shout out to y'all. Even when they ain't in the room, they online. So hi to all of you that are there that come every week. But to God be the glory. But miracles, signs, and still, just this way, just by being online. Just by being online, and even more so in the house. And so healing, the Lord has been showing me even more a depth of inner healing that needs to take place within the body of Christ so that we can not just get delivered, but stay delivered. Not just get free, but stay free. And so people are like, well, I'm still having these struggles or these temptations or these things that are coming from my life, but I got deliverance. I pray, I fast, but I'm still struggling in an area. And so the Lord was like telling me, he's like, not only do I want you to continue to make disciples and to disciple them, I need you to help them to move from deliverance to discipleship to dominion. Because that's where the gap is. We're sending people out of the door, casting a demon out on Sunday, and they are not equipped. They don't know how to put the full armor of God on. They don't know what to do. They don't have wise counsel. Somebody to say, nah, don't go, hold on. Okay, there's another step to this. Okay, pull back here. Okay, let's pray in this area. Okay, that's an actual stronghold where the saints of God, I even say it sometimes, I got to watch it. Because I'd be like, ooh, this got me in a chokehold. You know, like, because I'm a foodie. So it's like certain things I'd be like, ooh, that chocolate ice latte at Starbucks got me in a choke. Watch what you say. Because, baby, you don't want to be in a stronghold or a chokehold despite what some pastors may say. We ain't going to name no names. I don't want to get in trouble online. Strongholds. Unless they're godly, you don't want them. And you definitely don't want to be choked or in a chokehold. I don't see where that's good on any level. So, Lord, forgive me. I repent and renounce for every time I said something had me in a chokehold. I repent and I renounce of it right now. And so, the Lord was showing me in preparation for today the healing balm of Gilead. The word balm, I'm just going to share with y'all. It's like the word yoke to me. When I was a new believer, I was like, balm? Like B-O-M-B? Y'all laughing, but if you're a new believer, you see what I'm saying? We got to explain this stuff to people because it's not just common knowledge. Balm, B-A-L-M. Right? But you could be talking to somebody, you'd be like, the healing balm, and they're going to be like, where's the balm at? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to really do a little bit better to make things applicable in our teaching and in our explaining and expounding so people can really get understanding. We found out that understanding is what? A weapon. And all things get understanding. Because when you understand, you know how to fight. You know that it's not a B-O-M-B, it's a B-A-L-M. And now that might come with another question. And so today's message is there no balm in Gilead? Yay! I love God. I love the Holy Ghost. And I love the word. I might do a cartwheel here because I feel the Holy Spirit like doing a little jingle in my soul. Is there no balm in Gilead? We're coming out of Jeremiah chapter 8, 18 through 22. Jeremiah chapter 8, 18. Get quick, draw McGraw. Y'all know I'm going to use some interactive engagement in the room. Whoever gets it first, stand, speak if you don't have a mic. Jeremiah chapter 8, we'll start with 18. I'm going to have someone read. Thank you, Noah.
My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me.
Whew. Go ahead. Keep going.
Behold, the cry of the daughter of my people from the length and breadth of the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images and with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded.
My God.
I mourn and dismay has taken hold of me.
Keep going all the way to 22.
Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my daughter, of my people, not been restored?
I was reading that, and I was like, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He grieved the souls of the people. And this, in Jeremiah, he's speaking to the people of Judah. I would not have wanted to be an Old Testament prophet, just so you know. Because, baby, they had some hard work, and they saw a lot. Jeremiah in 8:18, my joy. We already know the weapon of joy and what joy does for you. If you don't, go back and watch. But he said, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within Jesus. Jeremiah is not preaching at the people. He's weeping for them. This is not the voice of someone to punish. This is the voice of God speaking through Jeremiah, not in a place of anger, but in hurt. He's hurt. This is the voice of a wounded shepherd watching people refuse the very thing that could heal them. As a leader and a minister of the gospel, especially when you are a prophet of God, we spend a lot of time weeping for our people as shepherds. Because I will see someone cycle through a situation, and in my head, I'm like, Jesus was, when he came to the man at the pool of Bethesda, and he said, do you want to be healed? Very simply. So as God has called prophets of God to grieve and to see and to minister to the people, we hear and feel and sense and see the heart of God for his people. So I've seen hundreds of people get delivered and come back stuck still. And I'm like, is there no balm in Gilead? Do you want to be healed? There's a difference between being healed and made whole. Because even when Jesus spoke to the woman with the issue of blood, he said, be made whole. So that means there's another step. So I spoke to you about different miracles and different types of healing, but there's also an inner healing so there's that external healing, right? Where your back is, you know, your back don't hurt no more, you're pain free, you know, these type of things. So what's happening is we're putting Band-Aids, but we're not getting to the root of what's causing the pain. We're giving you ibuprofen. We're giving you Tylenol. We're giving you, and as ministers and leaders and preachers of the gospel, we got to do better, because we're just like, oh, well, just pray. But what do you do when you've prayed and you still are not healed? What part of the process is missing? Why am I not able to take territory and move in the dominion that God promised in Genesis 1? Why am I still cycling, thinking it's a demon, it's a demon, it's a demon, it's a demon? I just need more deliverance. No! You need to get to the root of the issue. You need to confront what you're covering. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal so you can heal. But you're running and hiding from the root that's actually bearing fruit. So you're swiping at the fruit in the tree. You're cutting the tree down, but yet that root is still growing. So you come back to the church. You come back to the altar. I need more prayer. But you're not submitted. You're not surrendered. And so the question is still echoing across time today. Jeremiah was in the Old Testament. Do you know we still fighting with people today? With this same question in verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? The physician is God. Not your PCP. Your primary care physician. Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Jeremiah's asking the question is, why are you not restored? So let me give you a little historical and spiritual context. We're going to be talking about this for probably the rest of the year. So for two reasons. We just went through a major maintenance within our ministry for deliverance, which we do. We offer one-to-one deliverance, and it's opening back up in January. So we'll be open to the community again for deliverance. But we had to pause the process so that we could revamp it. Shout out to Essence, who played a great part in helping me to revive the deliverance process from where it was to where it is now. It used to be three phases. We don't charge for deliverance. Jesus wasn't making people pay a premium for that. So it's now five, because we've added the discipleship piece and a dominion piece in. Whether people follow it or not is up to them, because we can't drag people to the altar. However, it is not just you saying, oh, I'm being attacked tonight. Oh, I've been, you know, it's that. But do you want to be made whole? So you've been delivered. Let's help get you healed. But do you want to be made whole? If you do, come walk with us so we can disciple you while we follow him. Right? And that's a part of the process, because you do have people that don't have deliverance ministries where they are. So forget discipleship and dominion, right? There's no basic foundation of even casting a demon out to even have a chance at what's next. So the Lord is helping us to expand and expound in the area in which we can serve and support our communities with true healing, not just physical healing, because I've done that. We do that, but inner healing. And so as we've cycled through in preparation, I've trained up some ministers in deliverance and things like that. So I had to make sure before they touching y'all that they good. And even in that, the Lord's still showing some areas that need to be healed. There's some inner healing. So our Remnant Risers disciples, which are a little bit different than our Virtual Victor disciples, but my Remnant Risers, those that work very closely to the ministry to build and help us to expand, to help you guys, the community, they just got an emotional trauma assessment. They got an emotional trauma assessment. Make sure y'all get that done. Y'all know it's due December 30th. Because we're equipping leaders. I'm equipping leaders for tomorrow. I can't do this all by myself. I need these same people to go into their families, to go into their communities, to go into their, what I told you in the beginning. So I want to make sure I'm raising leaders that aren't leading and bleeding. And in order to do that, because I am the overseer, God is the bishop of their souls. But he's positioned me to disciple, to equip and train them, but to also oversee. That's why we say our goals are souls. So I don't need pew members to serve We need to make sure your soul is good. This ain't about the tithes. This ain't about your talent. This is about your soul. So my goal is to partner with the Holy Ghost so that your soul can be of service properly. That we not just over here like, so what you good at? Oh, you can sing? Oh, go sing. Sir. Oh, nice to meet you. Thank you for joining Flawed and Free. So you're in fitness? Well, we need you to run the so-and-so. And you literally over here fighting for your life. Every day. But we done put you in position. Oh, Q, you know what? I seen you do some mom dancing, the ministry of movement. You know what? Will be nice for worship. This woman of God is anointed in movement. If we was trying to entertain y'all, she'd already been up there twirling. Y'all wouldn't have known no different, right? But you better believe, and this is no slight to her at all, but because I'm more concerned about where you are and how to get you to the place you're supposed to be so you can pour properly. Y'all see her where? You see her all through the room doing what she do. So we can't be so hungry for hands that the hearts of the people are going to hell. Serving every week. Pouring every week from empty cups. That cannot continue. So let me tell you about Judah's condition. Jeremiah speaking to Judah. Ooh-wee. Judah was religiously active. Full of religion, just like today. Ain't nothing changed. They were theologically informed, but they were spiritually diseased. They had the law. They were Pharisees. The temple. And they had the rituals. Just like today. But their hearts were fractured. Their hearts were broken. The problem was not a lack of religion, but it was superficial healing. So people come to church and they think because they check in the box and because they're serving and they on the usher board and they are on in the ministry of movement and because they're worship leaders and because they pay their tithes every Sunday and the offering and the pastor's anniversary and because I'm doing this and that, it's superficial. But their souls are suffering. Because internally, God is looking at the heart, not your service, right? They do not have the restoration and the healing that's needed to fully function and operate in the fullness of what God brought them to the earth to do and be and to take dominion. You might be in the marketplace. You might be called to the fivefold. You might be called over here and over there. But because you are just under the religious law, you think, I'm going to heaven because I'm obedient to God. I'm faithful to God. I got baptized. I serve God. I do this. But there's going to be a lot of folk that are going to stand at the pearly gates. And God's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Meaning, I had no relationship with you. You served at Antioch. Jesus is the way. Missionary Baptist. Whatever the name was. all your life and you thought because you read your Bible and because you came to church and because you followed the law and you ritualistically, but you were broken, wounded, and oppressed the whole time. Can you imagine the deception of those people standing before God and they go straight to hell? And the pastors and the ministers and the churches and the leaders, God gonna say, that's a lot of blood on your hands. She meaning me, meaning her, it ain't gonna be me. You can be mad at me. You can leave this building. We ain't got enough programs. We ain't got enough, you know, bowling events. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. Right? I'm looking for a club. I'm looking for somebody to hang out with. Baby, because you're going to get the unadulterated gospel here. If you don't grow here, something wrong. Because I'm not here, like, what your mama used to say when you was a kid? I ain't your little friend. I ain't your little friend. Jesus is our friend, so I'm your friend. But I have a function. And we're going to laugh and play, and we're going to have good times because we have fun in the kingdom. But one thing I ain't going to do is play with your soul. So if I pull up on you and be like, hey, don't be mad. I'm trying to help. But at least I got a plan. This is what we going to do. You're not by yourself. We're going to get delivered. We're going to get healed. We're going to get, come together. We're going to lay hands. We're going to sling oil. We're going to do all that we got to do to let the Holy Ghost get you free. We ain't going to talk about you. We're not going to sit over here and play games and click up. I hate clicks. I'm a girl's girl. That's it. So, listen, since you cute, look at you. Huh. That's what's up. I'm raising up leaders. Some of the ones I'm raising are greater than me in areas. That's why I'm moving a team model. That's why you don't just see me. Why? Because they all belong to God, and God put them. It's my job to make sure that whatever's in them comes out of them so that the people of God can benefit and be edified. This ain't an Apostle Tina show. I need this place to move if I'm not here, just like Jesus. You see me? Now you don't. See me? Now you don't. My team knows that. I disappear at World Apostle. Y'all better be in position. Because just like Jesus, you never know when I'm coming through. Am I lying? Be where you're supposed to be. Follow the Holy Ghost. I'll be back. I'll be back. Because it can't be on my back. We got to keep our focus on the throne of God. They have to always keep their focus on God, keep their ear to the spiritual street. What is God saying right now? Not what is Apostle saying, what is God saying through Apostle, but what is God saying to me? Because I'm not going to always be there. The Holy Ghost, y'all know I love him. God said we need him. That means Apostle need him, that means you need him. We all need him. If I don't train you to have a relationship with him, then y'all gonna be looking lost. But we gotta pour into healed vessels. People that can properly pour. So, the scripture we see recognizes wounds. In Isaiah 1 and 5, somebody read Isaiah 1 and 5.
Isaiah 1 and 5. Why do you want more beatings? Why do you keep on rebelling? The whole head is hurt and the whole heart is sick.
My God. So what's happening? People's heads are sick and their hearts are hurt. There's not a person that's come up to this altar that is not dealing with mind warfare, that is not being told they're unworthy and their hope, that is not tussling and going back and forth with their identity, whether it's same-sex attraction, whatever the enemy's using to distract, to devour, to deceive you, right? There's not a person that's going to and fro, back and forth, some like me that are unchurched, that didn't know church protocol, none of that. I just know Jesus and the Holy Ghost. So when I go into religious settings and sectors, I can't come in there with my dunks. I can't come in there with these jeans. People be like, oh, I'm going to visit your church, but I got to come. And I be like, come in what you got on. No, you don't. Because I might be dressed up or I might have my dunks on like I do today. I might. But this isn't about that. This is not about the law. This isn't about the look. This is about the true heart of God. So you got people that heads are sick. Sick. Tormented. Heart like can't think straight. I helped a girl in deliverance. Met her. Beautiful woman of God. When I actually met her in person first. She was so confused when I met her. She couldn't follow her GPS. That's bad. She had over 90,000 spirit spouses. And later I find out in prayer. And they were all in her mind. They had taken over her whole brain. That's where they were housed. And they were housed in other parts of her body, of course. But the main housing unit was her mind. So I met her. She was confused. She couldn't follow a GPS. I had never seen that. And I was like, well, everything okay? Went to deliver this woman. She went through the process, delivered her. After that, I had seen her several times after that. Talked to her. She thinks she went online, did testimonies, all the things. That woman was like night and day. It was like Mary. It was like Mary. That like night and day. And I would just stand there and look at her while she's talking to me. She's talking about just the Holy Ghost and this and that. Completely different woman. Because her mind had come back. Thank you, Lord. So there's a lot of people, their hearts are broken, wounded. I am fully prepared to hand out hugs and everything else at this altar because it isn't about me showing off the gifts. Sometimes that's all a person needs. They have nobody to tell them, I love you with the love of the Father and I don't want nothing from you. I don't need you to serve here. To be valuable here. I just need you to sit and receive. Because God is going to do the work. Just show up. Just show up. Because God says he draws near to the brokenhearted. So as your heart is broken. As your heart is breaking. Because broken is past tense. Breaking is present. So people are dealing with brokenness from childhood and breaking by the day. And nobody's dealing with the heart that's sick. But we need you at the door on Sunday. Crazy. Crazy work. Diabolical like Diddy. Just diabolical. There's a special place in hell. There's a corner that got his name if he don't repent. Lord, please bring him back to the Lord. That man diabolical. Jesus. He had me praying at the screen. In the name of Jesus, get free. Gilead is a place. But before we even get to Gilead and the balm that resides there, you got to be able to name the wound. Sometimes we find that discovery in deliverance. So there may be some of you that are coming in need of deliverance, and I or my team might route you to a place or a season of discovery before you get deliverance. So there are times that we've had to turn people away because they came to deliverance, but they weren't ready to be delivered. Because Matthew 12, 43 to 45 says, when you sweep the house and this house is left clean, if you don't fill it with the Holy Ghost, they come back with seven more wicked. So there are people that are not ready for discipleship, to be obedient to God, to do nothing. They want relief. They don't want restoration. They want relief. And so by discernment, we have to discern who's here for relief and who's here for restoration. And so people have gotten mad at this ministry because in other places, you want deliverance? Out, out, out. They passing it out like candy in Oprah. You get your demon cast out. You get your demon cast out. You. Not knowing that they're actually putting people in worse positions. So then you got people that say, it doesn't work. That doesn't. This, that, and the third. So I believe in therapy and deliverance. I'm trying to, what we're asking y'all to help us with right now, I am building a community of mental health experts right now. I got a list of people right now that said they will donate their services to help us with counseling. And they're all God-fearing kingdompreneurs, social work, mental health, because, and that's going to be a part of this program. So that for those that can't afford it, they can't afford it. So now we might have to shift you over here for a season. Then you come to here to get deliverance. And then some of y'all got so much trauma, you might have to go back after your deliverance. And then you're going to be spiritually discipled. And then you'll be in a place where you can receive the healing that you need so that you won't lead and bleed, so that you can now take dominion and take territory. That's a process, and don't nobody want to do it. It's hard work. Because as a minister, you have to live a consecrated life yourself. It takes a lot. I can't do what half of these pastors do. And I don't want to. Because the blood that will be on my hands, I'm not finna play with. And so the balm of Gilead is a medicinal resin. It's medicine, if you don't know what medicinal means. It's medicine, and it's a resin that used to come from trees. And I believe it was like the eastern region. I have to look it back up. But anyway, it was the actual place, and there were trees that carried this resin that was considered medicinal. And the balm, B-A-L-M, which is also like a salve, S-A-L-V-E, is like an ointment, right? An anointment. You tracking me? That was used to clean wounds, and it was used to reduce inflammation. It was used to promote healing. There were natural properties. That's why all of this, as a nurse practitioner and a nurse for 25 plus years, all this medicine is lies. It's called pharmakia. And it gets you more sick. It's a spirit. Everything our bodies need, we have. God created it to be and move and do what it was supposed to do. We've abused it through toxins and parabens and all of the things that we put in our bodies, preservatives and things that have caused the original functions of our bodies to break down. But in the Old Testament, did nobody have no Tylenol? Didn't nobody have no ibuprofen. Didn't nobody have. So the pharmaceutical industry has made billions of dollars off of the people of God, when what we need to be healed is not only coming from him. Come on. This young man said, Yeah. And we're being pulled into and psyched into more despair and destruction. Because these things, these chemicals are altering our natural processes. So the healing balm of Gilead, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I saw it in the room. We were praying and I saw God releasing. I had on those black, if y'all remember, clothing. I had on the black leather pants. I said, I don't even know, but I saw it, but I released it. And I don't even know if people understood what I was saying, but I literally saw the resin in the room. The healing balm of Gilead. And so even as sometimes we repeat things, we don't know what we're talking about because somebody said it or we heard it. I mean, let's be real, right? Well, if Apostle said it, she must know what she's talking about, right? But literally, that's what that was. There was a healing anointing in the room. If anybody would have come to that altar, if you'd have come to that altar that day, baby, whatever was wrong with you, back to the left, to the side, scoliosis, whatever the doctor said, you was going to leave here healed that day. Because that particular day, there was so much in the room. And God has showed me the balm of Gilead. And the balm of Gilead is accessible and it's effective. So Jeremiah's question was, if the medicine is here, why is no one healed? But because we lack information, knowledge, and wisdom, understanding, when I spoke to the balm of Gilead, everybody should have been running up here, throwing their hands up. But we don't know. Amen. Good. So this balm, like whatever you need or to be healed, Jeremiah's like, y'all got what you need. Is there not a physician there? Is there not? Why are you still stuck? The balm represents repentance. The balm represents forgiveness. The balm represents restoration and God's covenant mercy. The physician is God. Healing was available but rejected. That's what we're seeing every day. Is healing made available, but we're rejecting it? Why are we rejecting the balm? Because we want relief without repentance, period. I'm gonna say it again. Why are people not being healed? Why are people still stuck in cycles? Why are people not being restored? Why are people not being transformed in their mind? They are not because they want relief without repentance. Impossible. Healing requires exposure. They want comfort, but they don't want correction. I want you to give me something digestible, not anything that confronts my sin that I need to correct. This is why false prophets are massaging the minds of people, because they're operating in a soothsaying type of, agreement. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear versus what you need to hear. The false prophets are giving anesthetics. Anesthetics meaning where the pain is. Pain and inflammation is an alert to a deeper problem. If you've ever, I'm not going to go too far in the medical, but if you've ever had tooth pain and you was like, what in the world? Where did this come from? There's a deeper problem. And guess what? It's rooted. It's beneath the surface. You cannot see it. Are y'all tracking me? So the indication that something's wrong is the inflammation that comes with pain. And what do? We avoid the pain in our life, and we allow substances, people, places to numb the pain. But the problem is still there. And it's rooted in something deeper. That's why the inner healing is needed. Because I can give you ibuprofen around the clock, plus some perks or whatever. And it might numb your pain for a little bit. And that's how we're living life. With anesthetics. Numbing. You think you're healed because you don't feel it. Lies. And then you're re-triggered. I thought I was delivered. You might have been, but you weren't healed. So you covered something that was deeply rooted. And now that root is inflamed. Now you have tooth pain. Now you could go all night and continue to medicate yourself. But that's only going to take you so far. At some point, you're going to have to go get surgery. Go to the dentist. Let them do what they need to do. Take the tooth out, do this, whatever. So when you feel pain, don't run from the pain. Get to the root of where it's coming from. Why did this hurt me? Why did this bother me? Why did this trigger me? Because that's where you're going to get real deliverance. Instead of cycling through, standing at altars, trying to cast a demon out every week. Why is this happening? I'm going to tell you why. People are afraid of the process. That's why, let's be honest, we're afraid of the process because healing hurts. Be honest. It hurts. So before you can be made whole, before you can be restored, that thing gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. But we don't want nothing to hurt. Don't pinch me. Don't do nothing to make me uncomfortable. Don't uncover something you see. I thought I had hid. You couldn't see it. God shows me a lot. And I ain't finna walk up to people every day like, the Lord had told me that when you was two. And I have people that say, Apostle, she be looking. Me look like she just be looking through my soul. I might be, but not for a bad reason, because God's showing me something, but not embarrass you. I might not never tell you, but he trusts me with what he shows me, because he knows that where my heart is in it. So you might see me moving different. It ain't because you did nothing. It's because I've got instructions. Don't you say nothing. That's what he say to me sometimes. Because he know me. I'm very, like, confrontational, but not in a bad way. Only because I hate seeing. I hate seeing people hurt. So, and I hate bullies. So when I see people getting bullied and hurt and beat up, I want to confront it immediately. But God had to temper me. Be like, just be quiet. Don't say nothing. Bring it to me. I'm going to bring it to them. I'll let you know when you can talk to them about it. And I'd be like, Lord, how long that's going to take? He'd be like, I got it. So people are afraid of the process. They don't want to sacrifice. So Jesus is the true balm and the physician. There is no other fix. There's not enough ibuprofen you can take in the spirit or in the natural. It ain't enough anesthesia they can create to make things better for you. There is nothing that the pharmaceutical industry can think or imagine that will help you with whatever your problem is. It is Jesus and it is Him alone. And it's the healing balm that you need. Matthew chapter 9 and 12. I want someone to read it, please. I want to show you two scriptures. Next person, pull up Isaiah 61 and 1. Jesus, the true balm and physician. Amen, woman of God.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
So, the ESV says those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. So in the world where people say the church is a hospital, if we're going on the theology that the church is a hospital, that means people are sick. And that means if I'm going to the hospital, then I need a physician. Who goes to the hospital looking for anything other than a doctor? You ain't going there to eat in the cafeteria. Maybe. Maybe they got some good chicken tenders. Maybe. But most of them ain't good. But if you're going there, and I've heard other things, I don't know if I'm on the full ranks of the hospital, of the church being a hospital. And it's because of my metron and mandate in healing and restoration and revival. And so I'm like, why are we going, making the church a hospital? We're supposed to be healing the sick. Isn't that backwards? How the sick gonna heal this? How? Like, if people are sick, why do they wanna come someplace to get sicker? I'm gonna give you an example. When COVID came, I knew not to go to the hospital. That was the last place I wanted to go. It was the last place you wanted to be. Everybody want to go to the hospital. I was at home fighting for my life in the spirit. I said, go to the hospital for what? The physician is Jesus. The people just as sick if not sicker than me. They're going to give me something I don't need. I don't want to go there. So I have two thought processes when it comes to that, but I still get it. Depends on your perception. But for me, as a revivalist, God said that we aren't supposed to be sick. We ain't supposed to be dead. We ain't supposed to be walking around with disease and sickness. So why would I make this place a house for sickness and disease and sick folk? No, we want you to be revived and restored, and we want you to be happy and whole and healed. And when the glory of God is in a place, sickness and disease can't stay. It can't remain. So this is a house of God's glory. And if you come here, you better not leave here still sick. That's the point. So in this scripture, God is saying, it's saying, if you are well, you don't need a physician. But if you're sick, you do. And so what do we do when we're sick? We don't run to Jesus. We run to everything but Jesus. You need the physician. You just got to go to the right one. It? Isaiah 61 and 1. Who has it? Thank you. Naya. Isaiah 61 and 1.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
In the name of Jesus. God is sent, right there. He has sent me to the brokenhearted. But who was sent? Anybody can say it out loud. It said the Spirit of God, Jesus himself. He was sent to bind the brokenhearted. So that means I'm going to take that from you. Just give me that. You don't have to stay broken. Give me that broken heart. I got you. The Spirit of God was sent to break, bind, restore. Why are we still broken? But God loves brokenness because he has the power to heal and restore. So we'll run from God because we're broken. We'll run from church. We'll run from the people God sent us to pour and pray with us, hide and withdraw and isolation because I'm so broken. Look at them. They look, you don't think I got problems every day? Just like you. You don't think I'm not fighting in the spirit every day? Just like you. So we'll run because they pray in tongues. Surely ain't no hope for me. Let me stay home till at least I start praying in tongues. Then maybe I'll go back. No, you gotta come now. Until the Spirit of God touch you. And healing and restoration becomes your portion. Because it already is. It already is. We just have to believe it and receive it by faith. So Jesus heals bodies. Jesus heals our souls, which is our mind, our wills, and our emotions. Jesus heals our memories. Jesus heals our identities. That's Jesus. That's what he does. Isaiah 53 and 5. Anybody can read that. By his wounds we have been healed. God's already done the work so that we can receive healing for the areas that we're wounded. So in healing versus inner healing, healing addresses what's broken. And it's often external and it's immediate. So you come to the altar and you're like, I got this foot pain and I want the Lord to heal me. I got this pain in my back. I need the Lord to heal me. I got this pain in my heart. I need the Lord to heal me. So healing can come very swiftly, very quickly by and through God. But inner healing addresses what was broke. So healing addresses what's broken, and inner healing addresses why it broke. It gets to the root of why are you broken? Not just what's broke, but why are you broke? And inner healing involves truth. You got to be honest with yourself. And you have to be honest with God if you really want to be healed. It also involves repentance and true forgiveness. Many people are dealing with infirmities and sickness and disease in their bloodlines and in their bodies because of lack of forgiveness and repentance. This is why people will come to deliverance and the Lord will reveal, Holy Spirit will reveal, your great-great-grandma did this and that. Now you have to repent for your great-great-grandma and forgive people you don't even know. Because the sickness that's afflicting your body is because of the iniquity of your bloodline. So now you got to stand in the gap and say, God, I am the mediator. I am the intercessor. I am the ambassador. I am the one that will come against and contend with Satan's plans against me and my life. Because if you don't, you will remain broken and bound and unhealed and not restored. So God will heal those wounds and he will reveal those things that 9 times out of 10 may have nothing to do with you. But your healing is at stake. And this is why deliverance uncovers those things. Therapy uncovers those things. Because it's a place of discovery that you didn't even know. You like, you over there telling your therapist, I just get angry. I'm just mad all the time. I'm just mad. And then when the therapist starts to ask you some questions, you find out that the anger came from not having a voice as a child, being stifled. And so now you have outbursts that are inappropriate because you couldn't speak for most of your life. So there's the root of rebellion. It wasn't because of this or that, but it was because of this. So now therapy can say, now you have a discovery point that you can take to your deliverance session. And you can now present that to the altar and say, when I was a child, this is what opened the door. This is why I have anger issues. This is why, instead of taking that medication you relied on, see, this calms me down. This makes me feel better when I'm upset. And you think it's the medication. And even for those that love naturopathic stuff, and the stuff does work, don't get it twisted. I needed some one day, some ashwagandha. I was like, thank you, Lord, for your herbs and spices. Not KFC, but this good old ashwagandha. I needed some herbs today. I didn't even smoke weed back in the day, so I didn't want that. But, hey, honestly, but sometimes those things make you really look at yourself like, why am I so anxious? Why did that send me? It was just a missed stop sign. She's like, oh my God, I missed the stop sign. You're like, calm down. Is it that serious? Healing restores what's damaged. In Psalms 147:3, God says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's his job. You want some healing scriptures? There you go. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In the area of discipleship, I talked about deliverance and healing, but keeping it, maintaining it. I have a book on Amazon. It's a 7-step guide that I gave years ago to the people that were being delivered because I was like, they need some more help. So these people aren't under me. So I couldn't disciple them. They would just come and go. So I would say, I would really recommend you get this book. It's called 7 Steps on How to, you know, Maintain Your Friend. I've been delivered. It's called I've Been Delivered, Now What? It's what it's called. And it's a quick guide because I know the saints don't like to read. So I did that on purpose. I didn't make it a 12-page, 30-page, like literally 7 steps, right? ABC, 1, 2, 3. Try this. Find you a church, find you a pastor, find you a mentor. Have a great day. And that was a guide that I gave them, 7-step guide. It says, I've been delivered, now what? And so there is a process in which you have to put off your old self and you have to take on the new so that God can renew the spirit of your mind. So deliverance, we love deliverance. We're getting ready for more deliverance for our community. I know some of them happy because they was mad when we shut down. Hey, I had to do what the Holy Ghost said. Deliverance without healing leaves wounds open. So they go hand in hand. Healing without discipleship leaves space for relapse. Y'all got that? So deliverance without healing leaves your wounds open. There's another step. So healing without discipleship leaves space for relapse. Virtual victors, digital disciples, that's why we're here. Right? Because you need to be discipled. You need someone that's going to partner with you on your journey and your process to healing. Authentically, pure, that's going to have your back, that's going to help you. They're not going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. But you're not by yourself. Because our first line of defense when we're hurt is to withdraw and to not connect, to disconnect. And the devil loves that because he really puts a good beating on you when you're by yourself. In John chapter 8 and 11, the Bible says, go and sin no more. This isn't something we should keep doing. God's not rushing you. God's restoring you. But the Bible says in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Meaning, all the burden, everything. He said, and I will give you rest. You're burdened, you're heavy, you're worried, and you're holding it inside. And you're not laying it at the feet of the Father. I got it. I got it. And your hyper independence. I don't need nobody. The last time I went to the church, the last time I told somebody something, the last time this is what happened, they didn't show up. They rejected me. They talked about me. So I ain't saying nothing to nobody else, not never. But the Bible says, God said, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Amen. Jeremiah asked, is there no balm? And the word of God answers, there is. Do you want to be healed? It's available. The question is, do you want to be? Jeremiah chapter 30, 17. The Bible says, I will restore health to you. ESV version. I will restore health to you and your wounds. I will heal, declares the Lord. That was one of the best ones that I had for today for me. Because the question is asked, is there no balm? Yes, there is. Why are we rejecting the healing? Why are we rejecting the restoration? The physician is present. The balm is here. The question no longer is there healing? The question is, will you receive it? Not will I ever be healed? Is God real? Can he heal me? Will I ever see marriage, a new relationship? Will I ever not have this pain in my elbow? Will I stop doubting and rejecting the restoration of God because it is available? God doesn't lie. And whatever your process is, you're going to have to go through the process. There is no microwave solution to this. Some things will be instant in your life as you journey with God. Some things you'll literally go from having an issue one day to never again the next day. Because he just moves like that. And there's some things that's going to be a part of your process that's going to take some time. But do you believe that healing is available? Are you rejecting it? Are you rejecting it because you don't want to confront the root, the real deal? as to why you are oppressed and bound. Why you feel that pain when somebody says or does something. Instead of making people walk around on landmines because you triggered all the time. That triggers me. That triggers me. Please don't do that. Please don't let your phone ring too loud. Please don't. People are like, what in the world? Because everything triggers you. Why? Because you've come into agreement with the fact that you can't be healed. So you're trying to go around the healing and make people conform to the mindset that you don't believe in your healing. We've allowed diagnoses and pharmaceutical things and things to cover instead of really removing the root of the problem and not having to go back. Can you imagine the money we would save? Trying to medicate. That's why I tell people you can't counsel demons. You can't medicate demons. So even in the mental health space, a lot, if not most, of what we're dealing with is spiritual. We're only masking with medicine. Dow dolls, the this and that. It really messed me up for as long as I was in medicine. Which is why part of the reason why I'm not there anymore. I don't even believe in it anymore. How can I treat patients? How can I truly, the Lord said, you gotta go. Cause I know you. You gonna buck the system, they're gonna put you out anyway. Right? Ain't nobody getting no meds. I'm going to have my patients in there. Sheko Sataya. We ain't giving you no medicine. Devil come out of them. Baby, they put me out. Ma'am, you cannot be a nurse practitioner. Listen, we need you to prescribe these meds. Mask the problem. Keep them coming back to get more meds like little crackheads. It's just legal. Because now you got another problem because I didn't gave you this medicine. Now you got this medicine for that. Now this deals with the side effects of that. Now you nauseous when you take this medicine. So now we got, oh, here's the Zofran. Because when you take this, now you sick. Oh, now next thing you know, you got a whole, and I need you to come back for these refills. Because we got a partnership with Novocaine Products. And we got a partnership with them. So I got to make sure as many of y'all as possible get on this stuff. My son know what I'm talking about. He probably over there like, oh, Lord, I got to go to work tomorrow. He going to be looking at the meds a little different like, can you help me, sir? I guess. I need my job today. I need my job, Lord. But literally. So I want to call you guys up to the altar now. If there is anybody in this room that desires healing of any sort, emotional, physical, psychological, the balm is available. And we're going to pray some healing at this altar today. We're going to pray some healing. And we're going to continue this through the end of the year as we prepare for the fast in this house. Thank y'all for those that are visiting. Hopefully you come back. I want to see you again. But we're going to continue this journey. Because 2026, we got some work to do. We got some work to do. So we're going to pray. I need some of my intercessors up here for those that are coming for healing. And even some of my ministers are those that, you know, we'll work it out. Let's get the people served first if there's any way. If not, I'll catch y'all on the back end. Amen. Glad to see you again. Thank you for listening. and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree on Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.